Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6:46, 14 before 7. Joined now by a raconteur, a bon vivant, a professor of finance, and you know, UNO, my alma mater, a world traveler, and a man who's married to a woman far beyond what he deserves.
Right about that, Tom.
Yeah, well, we all really are. Professor Mark Rosa, ladies and gentlemen. Nice round of applause.
Thank you, Tom.
You're quite welcome. Very kind. Tell me about the Fed and the president and what he wants and what he's likely to get, et cetera.
Well, who's likely to get, the president or the Fed?
Either one, Mark. You're on till 7, so...
It's fine. Well,
it's your segment.
Get what it wants.
It's your segment. Use it like you like. Yeah, go ahead.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Appreciate flexibility. No, for all our listeners, it's, you know, they contribute to the economy in a unique way, meaning that they are in charge. The Federal Reserve Bank is in charge of monetary policy in this country.
What does that mean, Mark? Because a lot of people, they don't know what that means.
That's right. There's two primary ingredients, interest rates and the money supply. So what gets a lot of the press, what gets a lot of attention is when they are looking at changing interest rates. So what they're doing is they will change a single rate that the effect will be a ripple effect through the economy, through the banking system, and ultimately it should dribble down to you and me in the form of lower financing costs for a car, cheaper rates on your credit card products. All those cumulative effects are what they're wanting to do, in this case, lowering rates, so it would be stimulative to the economy. So what they're normally doing is lowering rates if the economy has signs of weakness, and that's what's just being discussed right now. We'll go back far enough, 2008, 2009 recession. They lowered rates in response to that. They lowered them to zero. They'd never been there before in the history of our country. And they stayed basically at zero from about 2009 till about 2016. And they said at that time, well, the coast is clear. The economy is certainly on its feet. The unemployment rate is low. Economic tea leaves are looking wonderfully. We need to start raising rates to slow the economy down because we could get to that point and we're worried about inflation. So in 2016, they started incrementally, very methodically raising rates. Again, this is the function of the Fed. So they're a government agency. They're not independent of the government, but they're independent within the government. They're supposed to be that they can conduct monetary policy without a lot of political influence. And then back to what you were saying before, Trump had mentioned earlier this year he was not satisfied with Fed Chairman Powell's reaction to existing economic conditions. I'm going to fire you unless you lower rates more quickly and lower them enough and lower them to my satisfaction. Well, he can't fire the Fed chief. They're independent for that reason. They look at the economic tea leaves. They're people that have usually economic educations, and they're evaluating what the economy is.
But he
and
appoints,
then they're reacting.
He appoints him, does he not, Mark? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
They appoint, but no, that's fine. They get confirmed by Congress, but he can't fire him. They're appointed for a term, and he can't go in and fire him. So
really?
It keeps it steady.
Yeah.
Right, he can't fire the Fed chief. So anyway.
We'll pick it up here when we come back.
Okay.
We got to go to traffic. Mark, I'm sorry. We'll pick it up here when we come back about can't fire the Fed chief. Economy, somebody texted in and said, why ever slow the economy? We can pick it up there and we come back. Matter of fact, if you have any questions for Mark Rosa, professor of finance at UNO, my alma mater, text them 87870 about monetary policy, inflation, economy, etc. And he'll answer them for you. 6:50, 10 before 7. Let's take a look at traffic now on WWL. 6:55, 5 before 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is going up to 95 today. which is a lot from mid to late September, but what are you going to do? Mark Rose is our guest, a professor of finance at my alma mater, UNO. And we're talking about the Fed and interest rates and what the president would like. And somebody texted in, Mark, and said, why ever slow the economy?
Because the growth rate, if it was too high, couldn't be sustained. And Alan Greenspan, a former Fed chief, was famous for saying, you know, we never have to have a recession. There's no rule, but it's just happened over time economically that the economy grows too far too fast, can't sustain the rate, and then it kind of falls off of that high point. So that economically we call it a recession. So we don't want to have a recession. It's too painful economically. It's too painful for families. People lose their jobs. Some businesses go out of business, et cetera. So they want, that's their whole, the Fed's whole idea is if we could have it on a sustained rate about between 2 and 3%, in theory, this could go out basically indefinitely. It could go out at this sustained growth rate. So when they see something kicking up a little bit too high or inflation starting to creep into the economy at a rate that they're uncomfortable with, they try to slow it down. So it's just increments. It's 0.25% increase in interest rates. They generally do it in these increments of 0.25% so they can measure it out. They'll raise rates, let's say, today, and they'll wait a couple of months usually, and they'll see what's happening, and do we need to raise it again, and very methodical. They don't want to upset the apple cart too much. They don't want to send a crisis-type signal through the economy by raising rates at amounts that are far higher than 0.25%. So what is expected this week is they're going to lower rates for the second time this year. Just a couple of months ago, they lowered by 0.25%. They're expected to lower by 0.25% this week or for the month of September. But it's actually forecasted, Tommy, until the financial markets try to forecast what the Fed is going to do, because that's the world that they live in. And they try to input the Fed's ideas into all of the money that they manage. And it looks like from now until next September that a couple of cuts are expected. This is just the financial markets talking, that the current 2% rate might go as low as 1.3. So nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. The Fed doesn't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but they're into the forecasting part of that equation, that they're trying to see what moves they can take now and what effects it might have with the economy.
Somebody texted in and said, do you think we will ever see 0% home loans? I never thought I would see 0% car loans.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not a we might want, I would love a 0% home loan, but as a practical matter, we wouldn't want to see that in the economy, because the financial system is not built to work around 0% rates. All of Europe, Tommy, I bump into enough people here on campus and through the business courses, through the finance courses, and it's, you know, a lot of people now are talking about, especially presidential contenders, no, we need a socialistic economic system, and that's scares me quite a bit, because it's what's happening in Europe all across there, what's called their yield curve or their term structure of rates, they went negative with rates. And it's been basically negative since the last credit crisis. Europe is that socialistic type economic environment that has a very, very slow growth rate. And so now you're putting money into banks in Europe and basically getting out less than you put in. That's a negative rate. What we want to do is make a deposit. The bank chips in a little bit for interest. They're borrowing our money to use it for other purposes within the bank, like loaning it to somebody else. And so that whole conversation about bringing rates down to zero, long-term rates down to zero like a mortgage, then the suggestion is, well, do you go negative? And we need to pray that doesn't happen with our Fed.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time.
We'll be right back. Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.